Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Tamar Jacoby is here for at least two reasons. Number one is she has a wonderful name. I just love her name, Tamar Jacoby. I like saying her name. And number two, she's a really cool lady, very smart, highly intelligent, has a great message. She's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She writes and studies the idea of the world of immigration, and many of you have seen her on television before. You probably heard her on radio. You've heard her right here on this radio show many times in the past. You've read her comments in the Wall Street Journal, as well as the Wall Street Journal Online and other publications. But most importantly, she's our friend. Tamar, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you back, as always. Great article in Wall Street Journal Online. At least that's where I saw it. I don't know whether it was in the anywhere else. I didn't see it in the publication, but it is in the online version. The title is called "Kiss the Melting Pot Goodbye." Now, Tamar, nothing lasts forever, and I think everybody knows what the melting pot is. That's what basically America, this patchwork quilt of people that's come together over the last 200 plus years. Actually, you know, yesterday was the anniversary, Tamar, of the Mayflower landing at the point of at the tip of Cape Cod.
So, oh, I didn't know that.
So 384 years, I think, ago, this whole thing got started basically in earnest. But the melting pot, at some point in time, doesn't it become a bad thing? I mean, nothing lasts forever.
Well, bad thing. I mean, first of all, let's talk about what we mean. I mean the tradition by which immigrants come to feel they belong here. I'm not talking about melting anybody down or, you know, erasing what they bring with them. I'm talking about their conception that they really are fully Americans and that they belong here and that this is what we have in common is more important than our differences. I think that's what makes this country great, and I think we will only survive as a nation if it continues to function.
Well, I think you're right about that. When you look around, you know, I remember I've visited with Europeans who've told me that they live in a house that's 400 years old. Their town is 600 years old. And the more I visited with them, I realized that everybody around them, not everybody, but most everybody around them are from the same families that have been around them for all these years. And I realized that they had a lot more baggage. I felt they had a lot more baggage than Americans did in terms of being ready for whatever the next big thing is.
Yeah, well, I mean, even without going into that, because you know that's it. There's a different view of life in Europe and whatever. But we're all living in a globalized world now. We're all having to contend with, or you know, I would argue, benefit from
and compete.
Contend with and benefit from lots of people coming from other countries to do work that we need done at both the high end of our economy and the low end, unskilled laborers, but also, you know, entrepreneurs and engineers and scientists. And if you're the kind of country that can't help those people feel at home, you're gonna and bring them into your society in a successful way, you're gonna end up in trouble. And I think we have a tradition that works pretty well, not perfectly, and we don't always appreciate it. So sometimes we talk about destroying it, but we have a tradition that works pretty well, and they don't have much of a tradition, and that's what we're seeing in France. The problem in France isn't so much discrimination or immigration, for that matter. The problem in France is they haven't figured out how to make the Muslims there feel at home.
It's basically segregation in a lot of ways, isn't it?
It is in a lot of ways. Well, again, but it's not like it isn't so much that they're, you know, separate water fountains. It's that these kids grow up thinking they don't have a real shot at the mainstream. And so what that does is, and, you know, we've seen that in America with, you know, I would argue with the poorest of our African-Americans, with underclass blacks, people who so feel they don't have a shot that they hardly even try. And in France, people, and, you know, American blacks feel they didn't have a shot because of you know, centuries of exclusion.
Right.
France, these kids feel they don't have a shot because they can't get jobs, because they in some cases aren't citizens, because they, for whatever reason, are not really part of the society, don't have political representation, so they feel they don't have a shot. So
and folks, in case you just woke up from a 30-day coma, Tamar and I are talking about the France issue. Are the young men mostly who for about the last 3 weeks have terrorized hundreds of towns and villages in France and burned thousands of automobiles and buildings, and it's been pretty ugly over there. But those people have not assimilated in this society, and what you're saying, and you're a strong proponent of immigration. You think that America can benefit from other folks coming to this country, and you even include the illegals in your argument, don't you?
Well, I think that illegal immigrants are mostly here doing work that we need done. So it's not good that they're illegal. That's bad.
Right.
But we should find a way for people like that to come legally. But so, yeah, I think immigration is good for this country. I think the level of immigration we have, including the people who come illegally, is about right because it's driven by the market. And I think we ought to find a way for them to come legally. But we also ought to continue helping creating the situations. In fact, we ought to do better even than we do now, make it possible for them to assimilate and feel that they're part of this country. And I'm a little worried because some members of Congress are talking about a proposal that would rescind birthright citizenship.
Tell us what that. I want to come back in a little bit. I want to come back to the high end and the low end of the immigration spectrum because I think that's an important talk about. But let's talk about this birthright thing. Remind us what the birthright citizen issue is.
If your parents come here as immigrants and you're born here in this country, you're automatically a citizen.
Right.
And there's some politicians who are saying, some members of Congress, Republican members of Congress who are saying, let's get rid of that.
Tamar, stop for a second. Folks, just in case it's not really clear, because if you hadn't thought about this, this might not connect easily. If a couple comes across the border, and mom is the lady is extremely pregnant. They come across illegally, and she gives birth to that child on U.S. soil. That child is a U.S. citizen, isn't he?
Exactly. And you know, everybody in this country, it happened to them. They're somebody in their family at some point, right?
The first one's name was Peregrine. She was born on the Mayflower.
Well, there you go. and so they're members of Congress who want to say, let's change that. That's part of the Constitution. It's in the 14th Amendment.
14th Amendment. When we come back, I'm going to let you explain what they're trying to do and why you think that's a bad thing. And we've got other things to talk about. I told you Tamar was a really smart lady. She and I will be right back after these messages. She's with the Manhattan Institute. 20 after. Stay with us.
Again, how long has it been?
Joe Cocker, ladies and gentlemen. At least that's his band in the background there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with Tamar Jacoby. There's Joe. Our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com, and Tamar is our good friend with one of our many good friends at the Manhattan Institute, and she's a senior fellow there specializing in immigration. Tamar, give us your website and tell us about the Manhattan Institute.
www.manhattan-institute.org. We're a free market think tank based in New York. Everything from school choice and tort reform to how to make the cities more livable. I do immigration.
The first time I heard about the Manhattan Institute, I heard that they had a website. One of their fellows, Walter, what's Walter's last name? Help me.
Olson.
Oh, Walter Olson, yeah. Has a website called Overlawyered. I knew I was going to like you guys tomorrow when I knew Walter had a website called Overlawyered. Okay, folks, when people immigrate to France, because they have such a convoluted system of becoming a citizen and being born in that country doesn't give you citizenship automatically like it does in the United States. They've got a lot of disaffected youth over there, Tamar, who are all dressed up and nowhere to go. In the United States, In the United States, we have a less convoluted. It takes a little while to become a citizen. But if you're born here, you're automatically a citizen. And when if you grow up and you get educated and you work hard, you can become almost anything in the United States. You can become whatever.
It's partly about the citizenship policy. It's partly about other things, too, right? Here the economy is open to people with talent, and politics is open to people, you know, groups that have ethnic groups have a big voice in politics. Mm-hmm. It's not just about citizenship policy, but all those, because people in France can become citizens if they want to. But the point is that all these things combine to mean that when immigrants get here, they see a land of opportunity. And when they get to France, they see a two-tier society where they don't have a shot at the top.
It's almost a caste system. Now, you're saying that the House Republicans want to change this birthright citizenship issue.
They want to make... There's some people in the House, not everyone, but there are House Republicans who are arguing that we should change the policy we've had for 200-plus years, and parents who come here, who give birth, their kids should not automatically be citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that, in my view, is that we're going to create, as you say, a caste of young people who were born here, who've never been home, quote-unquote, to the old country, who don't speak the language, who are not going home, but who don't feel they fit in here and don't have a shot at it, and
right.
don't see any reason to aspire to the highest pinnacles of success. And I think we're creating, it's a recipe for a political underclass.
Well,
that's not what the Congress people are thinking of, but I think that's where they might get us.
So you're saying all you got to do is look at France today, this month, and see that that's, you know, you can sort of see the bellwether of what would happen to us in, by looking at France right now, can't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's move over. And by the way, how much of a push is this? Is this something that's likely to happen?
Well, apparently it's pretty serious. Apparently they've been having these dinners of Republican, they're called unity dinners of Republican members of the House to talk about what to do about immigration, and this is one of the two most popular
mm-hmm.
ideas there. They want to build a fence, and they want to do this.
What do you think about the fence?
Oh, I think the fence is a silly idea. You know, of course we need to get control of the border. There's no question about that.
But how do you do that though?
Well, that's the point. And I think what you have to do is you have to combine much tougher enforcement. And notice I say much tougher enforcement, including on the border. But you have to combine that with more enforceable laws. What do I mean by that? Laws more in sync with our labor needs.
Right.
Right now, we need these people to come do work that we need done that Americans don't want to do. But instead of creating a legal way for them to come, we have limits that are so low
right.
that they're unrealistic, we can't enforce them. It's like
right.
trying to enforce prohibition.
Well, let's change subjects just for a little bit. We got about a minute and a half left. Tomorrow, immigration is not as bad when we have balance between the most desirable and the least desirable immigrants. And I mentioned to you off the air of David Heenan's book, Flight Capital. In that book, he makes the case that more and more desirable immigrants are not choosing to come to America. So, and then the article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday by a couple of guys say that since 9/11, we've had much fewer H-1B visas issued because of 9/11, and the people who are leaving out are the people who could come here, and they're scientists, they're really smartest people of the other countries who have been gravitating here for generations.
Decades.
And so they're not coming here as much, and so are we in danger of getting the least desirable and not so much of the most desirable?
Well, I don't think that's the way to think about it, because we need the people doing the dirty work too. We're not doing anybody a favor to allow people to come. I mean, it's for our benefit, not for them, that we have the people at the low end of the pay scale too.
Yeah.
You know, if they weren't here doing what they're doing.
But don't we need more balance? Aren't we better off with balance?
It's not so much about that. It's just that forget that trying to compare the two. It's that we need the people at the top end also.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, nobody says, like, don't eat meat, eat vegetables instead. The point is we need some vegetables.
We need both, don't we?
Especially
with Thanksgiving coming up, we got to have both, and we got to have pie too tomorrow. Don't forget
okay.
that. Hey, thanks, Tamar. Have a great holiday. Thanks for being here. Good job today. Tamar Jacoby, ladies and gentlemen, with the Manhattan Institute. She'll be back. I will be too. There's Joe Cocker again. I'll be right back with Andrea Nirenberg. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.